How many of you can say, Pastor, I have some overwhelming things happening in my life. You show me your hands right now. Say, Pastor, this is me. If you're not, you're in denial. Because all of us go through seasons when we're overwhelmed. And this is one of those times that I began to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it in my life and in the church that we're going through that we really have to really start learning about? And as I began to pray and read the scriptures, one of those things were just came to me was the word overwhelmed. See, to be overwhelmed is defined as taking on more than you can handle. It's also defined as a feeling of defeat and helplessness. And if there's any word to describe, I believe, not only the people here in this church today or listening online, but just people all over walks of life, it's the feeling of feeling overwhelmed. See, when you're overwhelmed, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. Everyone goes through seasons that they feel overwhelmed. People from all walks of life. You can be a parent. You can be a single parent. You can be single. You could be a teenager. Have a good life. Have a great job. Have money. Have a great house. Nice car. Or none of that. And still feel overwhelmed. Just because you're in church today doesn't mean that you're not overwhelmed. People in the church who walk faithfully with Jesus go through seasons that they're overwhelmed. Pastors like myself, we go through moments that we are overwhelmed. But here's the promise of God. As you read through the scripture, there's a lot of people that were overwhelmed, but God promises this one thing. You can overcome when you are overwhelmed. See, being overwhelmed is natural. It happens to the best of us. But God promises in His Word that you can overcome even when you're overwhelmed. But see, it's not just done through a prayer. You don't just pray, Lord, help me to overcome this in my life. It's not just something that you wish and hope for and take a chance that God's going to give you. No. Overcoming is a process. It takes a lot of work, a lot of discipline. That's why the next 4 weeks we're going to get into this series called Overwhelmed, because our goal here in this church is to help you overcome the feeling, not just the feeling of being overwhelmed, but how to handle it, how to understand it, and how to truly overcome this. Are you guys ready for this four-part series in this church? All right. All right, all right. Turn to your neighbor right now, look at them and say, you looked overwhelmed this morning. Come on. And ask them if you're married to them, do I overwhelm you? We all go through this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that all of us here are going to be delivered from this overwhelming feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. I ask that you bless this word today. Help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives, and that you would be with me faithfully, Lord, as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to talk about someone that was a little overwhelmed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, the word of God says this. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon together with some of the Ammonites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Tamar. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And I'm going to jump over to verse 12 and kind of bring this story together. Notice Jehoshaphat's prayer and how honest it was. He said, O our God, will you not judge them? Saying, God, aren't you going to do anything about them or this situation? And notice what he says to God here in verse 12. For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Let me read that one more time, the honest prayer. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes, my focus, my attention is on You. Jehoshaphat was a powerful man, a king, a man of influence. And he had received this message, this bad news, that a massed army was coming against him. He was not expecting it, nor was he ready for it. And as a result of this powerful army coming against them, he felt powerless. And this is what's interesting about Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Israel. So it shows me that as a king, he had all the power. He had all the influence. He had all the authority. People looked up to the king for answers and wisdom and direction. But even he admitted to himself and to God, God, I don't know what to do. And this is the sad thing when you're overwhelmed. Maybe there are people that look up to you. Maybe there are people that depend on you. Maybe there are people that expect you to know the answers and to have the direction and the solutions to life. But even the greatest of men and women go through seasons that they are powerless. They don't know what to do or how to handle a certain circumstance. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter your accomplishments or your gifts or your talents. All of us, like Jehoshaphat, go through seasons that we feel powerless and hopeless. And even afraid. He prayed an honest prayer to God. And he said, God, I'm clueless. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. And we all here today can relate to Jehoshaphat. We can relate to him because he received bad news. And all of us here can remember a time in our lives, maybe this week, last month, a few years ago, that you received bad news, a bad report, something that has you afraid. He got bad news that this massed army was coming against him. And like you, maybe you're sitting here in this church, you're listening online, and there are things in your life that are coming up against you. Things that are beyond your control. Things that are beyond your capability to handle and fix. And like Jehoshaphat, he was not expecting this. So he wasn't ready for it. And there are things in your life that have come against you. There are people and situations that have risen against you. And now you're feeling what Jehoshaphat felt. You're feeling the feeling of being powerless and afraid. If you're honest like he was to God, you can say, God, there are things in my life that are up against me right now. There are things that are against my life and my family. There are things that are against my health. There are things that are against my marriage. There are things that are against my finances. Lord, I'm in a situation right now that I am powerless. I can't do anything about this. And if you're honest enough with God, you might even go a next level here and say, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm worried. Because I don't know how the situation's going to play out. I don't know how this is going to change. And maybe you're afraid for your life. You're afraid for your children. You're afraid for your future and your tomorrow. But see, we go through these moments that if we're honest enough with God, like Jehoshaphat, in front of everyone, he was the king. In front of everyone, he was powerful. And we have this pressure to appear powerful and in control in front of people. But if we get along with God, you can be honest enough with God to say, Lord, I'm scared. I'm scared for my life. I love You. I trust You. But I'm afraid. And I don't know how to fix this. There's nothing worse than the feeling of fear and being powerless. Knowing that there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can say to fix the situation you're in right now. Why do we feel so overwhelmed as people? Why is it that the suicide rate is at an all-time high right now? Why is it that anxiety is also at an all-time high? And all of us are seeking this escape from fear and worry and anxiety and depression and discouragement is because we are overwhelmed. There are things in our lives beyond what we can handle. You've taken on too much that maybe God never asked you to take on. And you're saying, Pastor, I am overwhelmed. Every day of my life, I am overwhelmed. And maybe no one knows it because you're a king. You're a queen. You're supposed to have the answers. You're supposed to be strong in front of people. But if you get along with yourself and God, you might own up to the fact that you have fear in your life, you have anxiety in your life, and you have this discouragement in your mind because you are in the place where you are saying, God, I am overwhelmed. Why are we overwhelmed? Well, it's because I'm going through this and because I'm going through that and because I've gone through this and I've gone through that. What if I told you that your situation, your circumstance has nothing to do while you're overwhelmed? You might look at me and say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. You're crazy. I'm overwhelmed because of who I'm married to. I'm overwhelmed because of who I work for. I'm overwhelmed because of who I'm raising. I'm overwhelmed because of my bills that keep piling up. I'm overwhelmed because of my health crisis and my problems. I'm overwhelmed because of traffic every morning. I'm overwhelmed because of all the people that keep leaning on me to help them. I'm overwhelmed because of all the situation. You are not overwhelmed because of your circumstance. You're not. This is why you're overwhelmed. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat says, God, will you not judge them? Saying, God, what are you going to do? There's that question mark. He says, God, I'm powerless because of everything that's come up against us. He says, my eyes, I don't know what to do. That's the answer. That's why you're overwhelmed this morning. That's why you've lost joy. That's why you've lost peace. That's why you live with discouragement and sadness and depression and worry and anxiety, because it's not what you're going through that's causing you to feel overwhelmed. What causes a person to feel powerless and overwhelmed is that question mark of your life. What am I going to do? It's the honesty to tell God, I don't know what to do. That's what causes the feeling of overwhelm. I don't know what to do. It's the lack of understanding and the lack of providing an answer to the solution that overwhelms you. See, having the answers of life gives us this assurance that we're in control. Having the answers and the solution gives us a sense of peace that it's going to be okay. But when you don't have the answers, you're saying, I don't have the control. And when you don't have the control, you don't feel like you have the power. And when you don't have the power, you feel like you're overwhelmed. See, you can go through anything right now if you knew the answers to the solution. If you were going through a marital crisis, it wouldn't even bother you if you knew how to fix it. If you were going through problems raising your children, it wouldn't even bother you if you knew the solution and how to change it. If right now they would tell you you're sick and you have this disease, it wouldn't even bother you if you knew there was an answer to cure it. You wouldn't even worry about your finances if you had a solution on how to fix it. No, there would be no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no discouragement if every situation in your life you had the answer for. Then you can say, bring it on, I'll go through anything. As long as I know the direction. As long as I know what to do. You see, like today in our society, we don't worry too much about being lost on the road, do we? Because we have this smartphone now that tells us where to go and even what to expect. It changes your route because it doesn't want you to be delayed. And it shows you the detours. And it shows you the direction. And it even tells you at what time you will arrive. You even know if you're going to be late or not. Spoiled generation. How many of you are from the payphone era? Do you remember when you did not have a smartphone, you had a dumb phone? A dumb phone, what do you really mean? Well, there was a time in our lives, if you were lost, you had to find a payphone and pray that you had a quarter. Remember that? Or a dime if you're older. Whoa, Mom, whoa. The dime generation, that's like 70s, that's crazy. But you were lost, you had to pray to find a phone, and you had one call if you had one dime. To call the right person, that was your lifeline. How do I get here? I don't know. Ah, you're lost forever. Men had to be humble and get off the gas station and ask for direction. And say, I'm lost. You had to reach and get a map that folded this big if you're on a trip, which you never folded back in place. Impossible. And you had this huge map and you had to figure it out. And we struggled back in the day, but today, no one gets overwhelmed when they're lost because they simply ask their phones and it just tells them. And we think God should do the same. There's a sense of calm when you know what's going to happen. There's a sense of peace when I know I have the answers to how to fix what I'm going through. When I know what to expect, I'm not going to worry about it. But it's the unexpected things in my life. It's the things that I don't know how to fix, that I don't know how to change, that have me overwhelmed. So it's not the circumstance that you're in that has you overwhelmed. It's more the fact that you don't know what to do. You lack understanding, wisdom, and solution. I don't know how to fix my life. I don't know how to fix my finances. I don't know how to better my relationship. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what's going to happen. And many of you are overwhelmed right now because you're in that season in your life. You're telling yourself, I'm in the crisis and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it. But Jehoshaphat says, but God, my eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat figured something out. When I don't know what to do, I'm going to look to the one who does know. When I don't know how to handle my situations, when I don't know how to go through life, I'm going to look to the God that does. Because you may not have understanding right now, but God does. And that's why the Word of God says, not to lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge God. Recognize that you have a God that knows where you need to go, that knows who you need to be, that knows what you need to do, and you need to acknowledge Him. And Jehoshaphat said, I looked to God. What do you look for when you're overwhelmed? What do you look to when you're overwhelmed? Do you go to people who are just as overwhelmed as you are? Do you go to substance to kind of distract yourself from the pain of life? Do you just go through pleasure to just kind of distract yourself? Where do you look to? Or what do you look to? If it's not God, you'll stay overwhelmed. He said, my eyes are on you. There comes a point in your life that when you're overwhelmed and you're desperate for peace, you need to stop looking at all the problems. You need to stop looking at all the situations. You need to stop looking for a solution and you need to start looking to God. And say, God, I'm just going to look to you. And I'm going to wait on you. Jehoshaphat was powerless. And in those moments that we don't know what to do, we need to run to God. And he said, Lord, I'm helpless. I'm afraid. So I'm looking to you. And he was honest. In verse 24 and 25, I read this passage and I think to myself, man, that's not fair, but the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, before this passage, he got everyone together and said, we're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to seek God. And we're going to worship. I thought, if that were me, I'd say, Jehoshaphat, you lost your mind. Because I need answers. I don't need a church service. Imagine you're going through what you're going through, and I just tell you, listen, I don't know what to do, but what you really need to do is come to church and pray and worship and trust God. You think, no, Pastor, I need more than that. See, some of us, we're so desperate to get God to fix our problems, but God is using our problems to fix you. And the first thing you need to do whenever you're in a position that you don't know what to do and you're lost is go to a place of prayer and worship. So Jehoshaphat, he gets his worship team together and says, you guys are going to go into battle. I can't imagine sending Frankie to the front line. But that's what he said. So the Bible says that he got together, he fasted, he prayed. And this, as a result, this is what happened. He said, when Judah came to the lookout at the wilderness, one morning they woke up, they went out into the wilderness to check a look at their life, of their situation. They looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were all corpses, dead, lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. Don't you wish that would happen? You're like, no, I don't want you to kill anyone, but don't you wish that you woke up one day and your problems were gone? You're like, Pastor, I so wish I could have that. I wake up one day and I look at my bank account and my finances are okay. I wake up one day and look at my wife and she's fine. My marriage is healed. I wake up today and I look at my children and they're angels. And the demons have been casted out of them. I look at my life and everything is perfect. I don't know, we look at this verse like I read it and I said, God, Jehoshaphat is so lucky. He just prays, he just worships, and the next day he looks around, and everyone was dead, and all his enemies were gone. Just lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And then it gets even better, and I got a little bit more jealous here. He said when Jehoshaphat and his people came to the spoil, they found much among them, including goods and garments and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry? Are you kidding me? It took 3 days to collect all the treasure? And they got to tell you, I said, God, why don't you do that for me? See, God will give you an unexpected blessing through an unexpected circumstance. So not only did he go through this battle that he didn't have to fight, because I'm going to tell you today that the battle you're in is not even yours. It's God's. That's what he says. But after it was done, God just blessed them with so much that they couldn't even handle it. So, let's turn this around. I'm in a situation that is too much for me to handle, but in the end, I trust God, and he gives me so much blessing, I can't even handle it. That's the kind of problem I want. And it's so easy to get caught up in this story and say, man, you mean to tell me, Pastor, that when I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do and I'm afraid and I'm going through so much and so much is against me, I just need to trust God. I just need to pray. I just need to worship. And the battles is God's and he's going to take care of it and I'm going to be okay and I'm going to be more than okay because God's going to bless me which way more than I even expected? No. Someone just went, oh, who was that? It's not true. If that were true, churches all across America would be full right now. If we just limit God to, if I pray to you, you'll fix everything. If I just worship you, you'll handle everything. That's not the case. We read passages like this and we assume that God will do the same. I'm just going to pray about this and God's going to fix it. Hey, prayer fixes everything. Just pray. I'm just going to worship God and He's going to come through for me and my family and my everything. And I'm just going to trust God and He's going to take care of it and He's going to do some miracles. And I'm just going to rely on God and He's going to bless me. But there's more to this story that we don't see. If you just stop the story there, you kind of just take God as someone that just wants attention and He'll bless you. But that's not God. I'm going to read you a verse in this story I call a timeshare verse. You know, when you go to a timeshare, they tell you everything that's pretty and nice and fun, and then there's conditions, right? This is a timeshare verse. It looks nice. It's pretty. God's going to come through for you. Everything's going to be beautiful. But can I read to you the conditions of this? If you're overwhelmed, you guys ready for it? Because I don't want you to leave this church believing a half-truth. Because you're all going to go out there and you're going to pray and worship and fast and Monday morning's going to come and nothing's going to change. You're just going to be hungry. Chapter 19, verse 1 through 4. Let's read before the battle. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to safety to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, the son of Hanan, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring the wrath on yourself from God? But there is some good in you. For you remove the Asheroth from all the land, and you have set your heart to seek God." You notice this? So Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem and went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord. Let me explain something to you. Before this whole battle took place, before he was delivered and blessed beyond measure, there was a season that Jehoshaphat was living wrong before God. And he was not living right. See, there was a point that when Jehoshaphat became king, people were worshiping idols. And they were worshiping the goddess of Asheroth, which was a goddess of fertility and pleasure and prosperity. So the people began to worship this god because their priority was no longer God, but pleasure and prosperity. And the whole land was worshiping pagan gods. And this went against God's word in Exodus. The Bible said in Exodus, you should not make gods for yourselves. See, an idol is anything that takes priority over God in your life. And idols don't just pop up. You make them, the Bible says. And if you're not careful, you can make an idol out of a person, out of an object, or out of a hobby. And things and people become more important than God. And when Jehoshaphat became king, he took note of this, that it wasn't right how they were living. So he got rid of all the idols. He burned them. And the Bible says he brought the people back to God. Back to God. One more time. Back to God. Say it with me. Back. Not back to. No. Back to God. Turn to your neighbor. Say back to God. There comes a point that if you're serious about overcoming your overwhelming problems, you need to get back to God. And he looked at his life and he said, there are idols everywhere. And he began to remove the idols. He first removed the things that were hindering his relationship with God. So he burned all the idols and he brought back the people to God and he thought he was okay. Maybe right now there's idols in your life. There are things in your life that have become more important than God. There's a certain person or relationship or job or children in your life that you love, but it now has become a greater love than you have for God. And it's taking your attention away from God. That's an idol. That didn't just happen. You made it. And we're not careful. There are things in our lives we will make more important than God. Jehoshaphat took notice of this and got rid of them. But Jehoshaphat had one more problem. One more sin he didn't get rid of. See, it's easy to look at your life and say, okay, I'm going to remove this sin, I'm going to remove that sin. But how many of you see, one of the issues that he had was he had an alliance with Ahab. A wicked person that was a stumbling block to Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat loved Ahab. But Ahab was not good for Jehoshaphat. So Jehu goes up to him and said, hey Jehoshaphat, that was pretty awesome what you did about those idols you removed. Oh, you like that? Yeah, that was awesome. When you removed Asherah from this place and that corner and that hill and that house, man, you did awesome bringing back the people to God. But what about you? Oh, wait a minute. Because if you're not careful, you can tell other people how to live, and you're not doing it yourself. And he got everyone back to God, but he had a little relationship with Ahab that needed to end. You feel the tension right now in church? Because he said, Jehu said to Jehoshaphat, there's some good in you. But see, God can't bless you if you just do some good. I believe there's some good in all of you. You're in church today. That's pretty some good. Some of you even go to Bible study. That's some good. Some of you will tithe. That's some good. You're saying, God, why isn't it working? Because God is more concerned not with the some good that you've done for Him, but the things that you still hold on to that you know need to go. We all have little Ahabs in our lives. See, for Jehoshaphat, Ahab became a source of strength. He relied on Ahab. He needed Ahab. But see, we can come to this place in our lives that there are people in our lives that we say, I can't live without them. And I need them. And I need this job. And I need this in my life. And without this, I'm nothing. And God said, now you need to get rid of it. Ahab became a source of comfort for Jehoshaphat. So Jehu was telling Jehoshaphat, there's still one idol in your life, and his name's Ahab. And Jehoshaphat ended his reliance and alliance with Ahab. It's hard when God tells you to let go of something or someone you love. It's difficult when it's something you trust and you depend on and God says it needs to go. Because I need to be the most important in your life. I need to be your source of strength. I need to be your hope. I need to be your power. And if you're in a position in your life that you're saying, without this, without that, without them, I'm nothing, that is an idol. And you need to get back to God. Like Jehoshaphat did. That's why in chapter 20, verse 3, we read it, and the Bible says Jehoshaphat was afraid and he turned his attention. He turned his attention. One more time. He turned his attention to seek God. Why was he able to give God all his attention? Because his attention was not divided. And some of you, you can't turn your attention to God because something else in this life has your attention. And you can't, God does not have your undivided attention because your job does, your kids do, your boyfriend, girlfriend does, your hobbies do. Everything in this life has your attention. And that's why when you're in a crisis, you can't turn your attention to God because there are idols in it. I love how quiet it is right now. Because you're thinking about those idols right now. He turned his attention to God. Because he got rid of everything else that had his attention. We want God to help us when we're overwhelmed. We want God to get us through when we just can't go on anymore. But see, it's more than just prayer. It's more than just worship. It's more than just fasting. You can do all of those things, but if you still have idols in your life, God can't bless you. That's why we have a dying church all over America, because we're praying beyond what we need to pray. We're worshiping beyond what we need to worship. We're fasting beyond what we need to fast, and we're not focusing on what needs to take place in this country, and that is the removal of sin and idolatry and putting God first and putting God back where He belongs. But until then, we're just going to continue with our church service. We're going to continue with our religious things and practices, and I'm going to choose to live overwhelmed, unhappy, and powerless. If you're serious about overcoming when you're overwhelmed, like Jehoshaphat, you need to take a good look at your life and ask yourself, what is it that's keeping me from seeking God first? Who is it that's preventing me from putting God first? What is it that grabs my attention that God deserves? See, if you ever notice this about your vehicle, when you're driving and you let go of the steering wheel, you notice that your car will begin to veer off one direction. It's because with time, your car goes out of alignment. And if you ignore it, some of you are really strong with the steering wheel holding it now. But if you ignore it long enough, your car continues to go even more off course. And when your car goes out of alignment, it wears out your tires a lot quicker than it needs to. And you might rotate your tires, but if you don't fix the alignment, those tires will wear out just as fast. And then you're spending all this money fixing your tires, changing your tires, but if you don't fix the alignment, those tires will wear out and be damaged just as bad. That's what's happening to people today in the church. Our lives are out of alignment with God. And it's wearing us out. And it's wearing out your marriage. And it's wearing out your family. And it's wearing out your finances. It's wearing out your health. And rather than getting aligned with God, we change tires. We say, I'm overwhelmed and I'm worn out, so I just need to change churches. And they go to another church and they're worn out. Oh, I'm worn out, so I need to change my spouse. And you get divorced and go to another marriage and get worn out. Oh, I'm worn out. I need to change my job. I'm worn out. I just need to change locations. I'm worn out. I just need to go on vacation. And we're changing things and not ourselves. And you can change everything in your life. Change your job. Change your marriage. Change your house. Change locations. Change everything. And you'll find yourself still worn out. Why? Because you're not fixing the main problem. You are out of line with God. That's what idolatry does. It gets you out of alignment with God. And when you're out of alignment with God, everything else gets damaged. That's why you have a damaging problem in your home. You're a damaged person. That's why everything around you is damaged, because you refuse to fix the one thing that's causing the problem, and that is, I am off alignment with God. Jehoshaphat was out of alignment with God because of his idol worshiping and his relationship with the wrong person. But once he got rid of them and he got back to God, God was able to get back to him. Stop changing tires and get back to the Lord. You're overwhelmed because God doesn't have your undivided attention. Your attention is what keeps you centered on God. But if my attention is on myself and my sin and people, I'm out of alignment. And you, and only you and God, know the things in your life that are causing you to go out of alignment with Him. And you might be here this morning, this isn't judgment, condemnation. This is truth. Look at your life and realize that maybe you're just changing tires and you're worn out, but you're not fixing what needs to be fixed the most, and that is, you need to get back to God. Jehoshaphat realized when he became king, there's so much in my life that is off alignment, and I can't live like this. So he began to remove all the idols out of his life. Don't you think he got criticized by people for doing that? See, when you make the decision to get aligned with God, people are going to oppose you. Your friends are going to judge you. They might even say, oh, you think you're better than us. But when you're serious about getting aligned with God, it means that there are things in my life I can't do anymore. And it even means that there are people in my life I can't be with anymore. Because I need to get back to God. It's easy to look at Jehoshaphat and say, oh, all he did was pray, and all he did was worship, and God came through and did everything. But we need to look at the context. God came through for him because he first went through for God. And said, God, I'm going to center my life on you. So that when he prayed, God was able to hear, because he didn't have any other idols in his life. He turned his attention to God. Because nothing else was there to distract him. And he got the miracle he needed. Aren't you tired of being worn out? Changing tires, changing this, changing that, and still being worn out? Aren't you tired of praying and seeing nothing happen? Aren't you tired of singing songs and worshiping and not seeing the power of God displayed in your life? Maybe it's because God is letting you know this morning, you're out of alignment with me. And if you fix what's really broken, that's my relationship with you, everything else will be added onto you. That's why the Bible says, seek me first, and all other things will be added onto you. James 4:8. God says this. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. See, God says something interesting. You draw to me first. You take the initiative. You make the first move. Why does God say you do it first? Why? Because you're the one that left Him. He never left you. He never abandoned you. You did. So why should God be the one to come and apologize to you? He says, no, you take the initiative and you come to me first. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. You're saying, I do draw near to God. That's why I'm here in church today. I do draw near. That's why I pray. I do draw near. That's why I sing. That doesn't mean anything to God. Because notice what He says after. Don't just say this prayer today, Lord, I come near You today. It's not going to work. He says, draw near to me. It's your choice. You take the initiative. What are you going to do with this? Then He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, a double-minded person is both ways with God and the world. You want to please God, but you want to please the world. You want to please God, but you want to please your flesh and sin. And you're one way, you're holy. The next way, you're wicked. And you're back and forth with God and the world. You're double-minded. And God says a double-minded person is unstable in every area of his life. See, Jehoshaphat was a double-minded person because he loved God, but he had a relationship with Ahab and idols. And he was back and forth. And God said, Jehoshaphat, draw near to me. And he looked and he led his life and he said, God, you're right. And he took the initiative to get close with God again by removing the sin in his life. When God said, cleanse your hands and purify your heart. When He mentioned the word hands, it means the things that you're doing by action. Can we all admit that there are things in our lives we're doing that don't honor God? Can you show me your hands and say, man, these hands are guilty? He said, cleanse your hands. Then He says, purify your hearts. It's the sins that get inside your emotions. Like bitterness, unforgiveness, pride. Because it's not just things that you're doing, it's things that you're feeling that go against God. So when you make the decision to draw near to God again, you're telling God, Lord, there's things in my life I will stop doing, and there are things in my life I will stop feeling. I'm going to wash away these sins, God says, when you draw near to me. But when you draw near to me, there are things that need to go. On the outside and on the inside. And God says, when you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So you're overwhelmed today. Like Jehoshaphat, you're saying, God, I'm powerless. I'm hopeless. I don't know what to do. God says, pray. Fast. Worship. I'll take care of it. I'll fight this battle because the battle's not yours. But God was able to fight for Jehoshaphat. He was able to fight for Jehoshaphat this battle. He was able to do a mighty miracle. He was able to bless him tremendously. Because Jehoshaphat took the initiative to draw near to God. And remove the sins in his life. And get back in alignment with the Lord. You're here today. We bow our heads today as we pray. In fact, can we all stand to our feet today to close this service up? And I want you to close your eyes for a moment here and think about your life and the things that are overwhelming you right now. You're saying, God, I'm overwhelmed by my life, my future. I'm overwhelmed at work and family. I'm overwhelmed in my marriage. I'm overwhelmed with all of this. And God wants to come through for you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to save you. God wants you to overcome when you're overwhelmed. But don't just assume it's just a prayer away. It's just a worship away. I just worship, I pray, and God, you naturally come through for me. But see, prayer and worship cannot be honorable to God with idols in your life. And prayer and worship and fasting does defeat the enemy. But prayer, worship, and fasting cannot be honoring to God when your life is not honoring to Him. And like Jehoshaphat, he took the initiative to say, I'm going to get rid of things and people that are keeping me from seeking God first. And it's hard. And it's not easy. Especially when you love people, when you love these sins. But it might be that you're saying, Lord, I'm out of alignment with you. There are sins in my hands and sins in my heart that keep me from drawing near you. In fact, if this is you today, as an act of confession of this, would you show me your hands and say, Pastor, I'm out of alignment with God. It takes a real man and woman to admit that. God bless you. All around the room and saying, God, I'm out of alignment. That's why I'm overwhelmed. That's why I pray, nothing happens. That's why I worship, I feel nothing. And I fast and nothing happens. Because the problem is in you. And the idols you've made in your life. You see, God loves you and He said, if you draw near to me, which means that no matter how far you may be, God is close enough for you to draw near Him again. And like Jehoshaphat, the Word of God says, he came back to God. So if this is you today, you're saying, God, I want to just come back. It's going to require some sacrifice. You might have to let go of some people. You might have to stop doing some things and get the attention back on God. So that when the battle comes and you're overwhelmed and you're lost with solution and you don't know what to do, you can turn your attention to God because nothing else has it. And God will fight for you. And God will bless you with ways and things you did not expect. And He will come through for you. But your hearts need to be purified. And your hands. So as we pray today, you're here today, you're saying, God, I need to go back into alignment with you. And I know the things in my life and the people that are just taking away the attention from you. And I'm overwhelmed and I'm powerless. And I need you. If you're taking that initiative to draw near to God again, maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe for the first time in a long time. It might have been weeks or months or years since you've been close to God. If this is you, I want you to show me your hands and say, Pastor, this is my prayer to God. I want to draw near Him again. God bless you. If you're tired of being double-minded, it's time for you to get aligned with God's Word. It will bless you. Because battles will come. Like Jehoshaphat, the unexpected will appear. And even when you're not ready, God is. And even when you don't know what to do, God does. You need God in your life. You need to have your undivided attention towards Him. And He needs to be first again. Let's pray. pray this with me if this is your prayer, if you're listening online. Maybe today you know the idols you've made, the things that keep you from God. Confess that to God. Say, Lord, I've made an idol, and fill in the blank. I've made an idol of this person. I've made an idol of this job. I've made an idol of this pleasure. Tell God I'm distracted. My attention is on everything but you lately. Tell the Lord what tire in your life is worn out. Say, God, my marriage is wearing out. My family, my finances, my health. And I don't want to change it anymore because I know the problem is me. Confess to the Lord the idols in your life that need to be removed and ask the Lord to help you to remove them. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and no other name, we have the power and the strength and the authority by your Holy Spirit to overcome any battle that we're in right now. And I pray for any person here today, listening, who's out of alignment, whose attention has not been on you lately. I pray for every double-minded soul who's worn out, who's overwhelmed. Father, there are things in our lives that have come against us. There are things in people we are powerless to fix. But we stand here knowing that if you are for us, nothing can be against us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are always for us, but we confess that we are not always for you. I pray that you forgive us for our sins and our idols and for not putting you first in our lives. And I pray for every person here who is overwhelmed, that the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard their hearts and their minds. That you are able to fight our greatest battles without any effort from us. Purify our hearts. Purify our hands. In the name of Jesus. As we come back to you in alignment, give us the strength to overcome our life's struggle. Help someone here today overcome their past and their guilt. Help that other person overcome their sin that has had them for years. Father, we are tired of being overwhelmed when we have all the power in you. Now in Jesus' name, we declare we are coming back to you. Amen. And amen. Would you give God a shout of praise today?